welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, the 18th of January, 2012, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on The Voice, KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And our simulcast partners, the folks in Globe and Gila County, listen to the Buckmaster Show on KJAA, AM 1240. And in Douglas, Cochise County listeners listening to Buckmaster on KAPR AM 930. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. And we have three venues that you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world. buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, that's Tucson's online news service, and TucsonCitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1 p.m. We'll begin with a conversation with Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, the Dean of the University of Arizona College of Science. 30 minutes past the hour, we'll talk with ASU Vice President Virgil Renzulli about a concept called the so-called Tucson Phoenix Sun Corridor for economic development. Then we'll close out the program with a newsmaker interview with Downtown advocate Fletcher McCusker. Mr. McCusker will be talking to us about a big centennial party planned for downtown Tucson in a couple of weeks. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us anytime during the Buckmaster Show at 790-2040. If you have a question for any of our guests, you're always welcome to add your value to this program. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Well, let's begin now with Dr. Joaquin Ruiz. Will Americans someday routinely live to be 100 years old? That's just one of the questions that will be explored in a series of lectures that will address questions surrounding aging, science, and technology. The series is titled Living Beyond 100. It will feature six free weekly lectures starting next Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the evening at Centennial Hall. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, Executive Dean at the University of Arizona Colleges of Letters, Arts, and Science. He's also the Dean of the College of Science, which comprises four schools, 15 departments, nine programs and centers, and has more than 6,500 undergraduate and graduate students and about 1,500 faculty and staff. I hope you are a multitasker. You have a lot under your belt, don't you?
Bill, it's a pleasure being here with you. Always nice to see you.
It's great to see you, and I hope the new year is off to a great start for you. There was a nice piece in the paper about the online. You had a little online chat in the Arizona Daily Star. Folks had a wide variety of questions for you, not only about the upcoming lecture, but some of the exciting things going on at the University of Arizona College of Science. But tell me about this lecture. This series, Joaquin, has been going on what? I think you started in 2006?
That's right. The first lecture series that we put together was on evolution. And it was at a time when evolution was in the newspaper all the time. There was a judge at Pennsylvania that was going to be ruling about whether evolution should be taught in schools or not. So we decided that the College of Science, one of its responsibilities, I think the responsibility of the university, is to connect with our community and educate the community about topics of importance. So that's why we started all of this. Well, it was such a success that we've been doing these lecture series now since then. Last year, if you may remember, was about cosmology, and 2,000 people show up to listen to each one of those. And this year, we're very excited about the topic, which is living beyond 100. And the idea there is that there's an enormous amount of science now devoted to understanding aging. So we'll talk a little bit about that. There will be a lecture that will talk about the aging of the brain. There will be another lecture that talks about just aging. Why do we age, and what really happens biologically to our bodies as we age? We clearly feel what goes on, but the speaker will tell us exactly what goes on at the molecular level. There will be another lecture that talks about some of the technologies that are now available to make us have a longer and hopefully better life, such as organ growth and transplantations. And of course, information technology is a big deal in hopefully making our lives better as we clearly have the capacity to live longer in the future.
Yeah, that's going to be the final wrap-up on February 28th, Information and Immortality. And Joaquin, I know that it will probably come up during the lecture series. Yes, it's wonderful to talk about being 100 and living beyond, but I think you really have to talk about quality of life. Is that quality of life going to be there for people?
Well, that's the question, right? The question is not only at the individual person, which I think that has two answers to it. One of them is whether you're healthy enough and have the means to, and the sort of personality to take advantage of whatever life throws at you. But the other one is a worldwide issue of what will happen as we have more and more people living longer and longer. And it's that whole field that is known as sustainability, which means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But basically it means, will there be enough food? Will there be enough water? What about energy? How do we make sure that we just don't run out of all the resources that are required for us to live well?
Yeah, because there's so many different economic issues, too, about living well and living long. And some people would argue probably that today, do you want to live to, say, 90 or beyond 90 or even beyond 80 and be in, if you're in terrible health and you have no resources?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, two of the lectures, so this time, most of all the lectures in the past really have been focused on science, and in some cases we've had a lecture or two talk about the ethics of some of the issues that science and technology brings forth. This particular lecture series has two lectures, one of them by the Dean of the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. It's the first lecture next Tuesday that discusses really the whole issue of food, well, part of it. He's going to talk about a lot of stuff, but he's going to talk about issues of food and water as population expands.
Yeah, I like that title for Shane Burgess, who's the Dean of College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. The title of the course, the whole series, Living Beyond 100, and then Shane, his title is Can We? And What If We Do?
That's right. And then there's another lecture that talks about the demographics of aging. And that's from the Associate Dean of the College of Social and Behavioral Sciences. And you'll be shocked to see the maps of longevity in the world, including in the United States, the difference in longevity between state and state, between parts of cities and parts of cities. I think people are going to be amazed at that. And that goes back again into a variety of things, but it actually has to do with lifestyle and also with economic development.
Yeah, that series or that lecture will be on the 21st, Tuesday. All of the lectures are on Tuesday nights. That's February 21st. That's a fascinating topic, society, geographic change, and the new longevity. And that's Vincent Del Casino, Jr., from the College of Social and Behavioral Sciences. So much going on in the area of science, and let's talk a little bit about, you really have believe in outreach, and I think this Living Beyond 100 series and the previous lecture series of taking what is going on in your area at the university to this community.
Well, yep. I think I'm a great believer in public education, and state institutions like the University of Arizona, of course, exemplify public education at its best. But we need an educated people. The universities need to make sure that not only do we educate our own students, but of course that we at least give the opportunity of those that are interested in further education that opportunity. So I've spent a lot of time, as you well know, creating programs around the city that will allow our community to be engaged with what we do. And those programs include the lecture series. I think that's sort of the best thing we do, maybe. But we also have science cafes. Next Saturday and Sunday, we're opening up Tumamoc Hill with all kinds of music and lectures and for the walkers and for anybody that's interested in understanding what an incredible gem that is.
And, yeah, because so many people walk that area, and they have no idea what the history, and it's a fascinating history of Tumamoc Hill. I mean, it goes back to the early part of the 1900s.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know that they're really walking on a very historic ground.
They're walking on an amazing place. The archaeology is amazing. The history is amazing. The modern ecology was invented there. So it's an amazing place. We have Tucson and southern Arizona is, in fact, an amazing place. It has more biodiversity than anywhere in the U.S. We've spoken about this before. So we try to bring this to people in the hope that through education, informal education, people can have a better life.
Dr. Joaquin Ruiz is with us. We're going to take a break right here. It's coming up on 12:16. This is the Buckmaster Show, heard on KVOI and our simulcast partners. We figure that this program is heard in 8 of Arizona's counties. We are delighted wherever you are listening to our program. And we will be back after we hear from the fine lineup of the people that support the Buckmaster Show. Please give these people your support.
There are 1 million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have 1 million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Well, 19 on the Buckmaster Show. We've been talking with Dr. Joaquin Ruiz. We wanted to spend a couple of segments with him. One segment would not be enough. There's so much to cover. And we were talking in the first segment about this Living Beyond 100 lecture series. I really like this series. 6 free weekly lectures beginning January 24th, each Tuesday night at Centennial Hall. And Dr. Ruiz, you know, you started off, I don't think you started at Centennial Hall. I think it was a smaller venue. venue, as I recall, wasn't it? There were so many people that I think they closed the doors. They said, that's it. There's just too many people here.
Well, you know, the lecture series, you can take the lecture series in two ways. One of them is that I think we do a good job at creating the content and delivering it. But the most amazing thing to me is what an amazing community we live in that is interested in all of this science that we bring forth. So the first year when we did this evolution lecture, we didn't know what to expect. We went to the Center for Creative Photography, which had about 250 seats.
That's right. I recall. That was a
and
small venue.
The first day, about 500 showed up. So the first year we were the itinerant lecture series because we went from room to room, sort of expanding the size.
Yeah, where are we going to? And we put these people.
And we ended up in Centennial Hall at the last one. But since then, we've always had him at Centennial Hall. And I would say that the smallest crowd we get is about 800 people. And more than common, we get around, I don't know, I would say 12 to 1,500. Some of them have been standing room only in Centennial Hall, which means there have to be more than 2,000 people. I shouldn't say these things because I guess the fire marshal will give me a call. But it's exciting to see how our community has responded. And of course, when the community responds that way, it only energizes us further to do more of it.
You know, biodiversity is just so amazing here in Southern Arizona. And you have said that you could consider Southern Arizona as the Galapagos of the United States. I've been fortunate enough to go to the Galapagos. What an amazing place that is. But when you think about it, right in our own backyard, look at the kind of geotourism or diversity that we have here.
Well, if you look at the combination of our geography and our topography, our geography being between the Sierra Madre to the south and the Rockies to the north, we get a lot of fauna that basically can come as far as southern Arizona or as far north as southern Arizona. They're coming from Mexico. So the birders have known this forever. The birding possibilities here are amazing. But the other thing that we have, which is extraordinary, is the topography. So if you drive from the base of the Catalina Mountains to the top, it's driving from the Sonoran Desert to Vancouver, yeah, basically. And with all of the changes in flora that entails. And to give you a sense of the amount of diversity, there are about 3,000 species of flowers just in the Catalinas. There are 4,000 species of flowers east of the Mississippi.
Wow.
That's just one mountain range. So the diversity here is amazing. And of course, anybody that's interested in that should visit. And we should have an enormous pride of sense of place for that reason. And the other thing that we have is history, which is very rich from the archaeology to the history. And we have an amazing set of man-made assets, such as the Biosphere, the Desert Museum, the Mount Lemmon Science Center. When you package all of that together, we really have an environment that's unique in the country.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you can tap into tourism from all over the world for this particular area.
Yep.
We may be, that's an area that I think needs to be explored even more by the people that promote tourism here in Southern Arizona.
That's right. And there's been a lot of excitement about this idea, because we believe that not only does it bring tourism, which of course is economic development, but I think that this sense of place, the place that we actually live in, could be used to attract industry as well. I mean, Ventana Medical, which was bought by Roche, I can just imagine when they're trying to get some Swiss guy from Geneva to Tucson, and this individual saying, I'm going to the end of the world. Well, he or she is not coming to the end of the world. They're coming to a very, very special place. So we need to bring that forth to anybody that's interested in moving. What an amazing place this is.
Yeah, the whole biotech industry is just so exciting, Joaquin, and we're delighted here on the Buckmaster Show that we'll be welcoming Innovation Park that has two of the largest pharmaceutical giants in the world in Oro Valley.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, they'll
it?
Be joining the show on February 1st. We're delighted to have Innovation Park. You know, one of the things that I was looking at the transcript of the live chat that you did with the Arizona Daily Star, and someone asked you a very basic, but I think a question that really it taps into what has been going on, say, over the past 20 years here. And the question was, what's the most exciting scientific thing that's really come out of the University of Arizona, I guess ever, but I guess you could look at the last 20 years. And you kind of rattled off a few things, and it really put it into perspective.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to decide what's the most important thing that we have developed. There have been so many extraordinary things. And when I mentioned yesterday in my chat, I talked about mirrors and I talked about telescopes and I talked about, I didn't even mention ecology, that the whole field of ecology was invented here. I did not talk about other things such as, I think experimental economics was somebody got the Nobel Prize about that after he left the University of Arizona, but all the work had been done here. This is an amazing place, and we should all be proud of what an amazing university has developed in our midst.
Well, you mentioned, of course, we've discovered water on Mars. We mapped the moon for the Apollo landings, discovered a way to use artificial hearts as an intermediary step in heart transplant. It just goes on and on. The change in pathology studies, which led to the creation of Ventana Medical. This is a huge resource and an economic engine for the university, for the area of Southern Arizona.
Well, that's right. If you talk to the CEOs of the companies that are in town, this would the large ones, Raytheon, Ventana, Sanofi, Aventi, they will say that the key ingredient for all of them is the University of Arizona.
It is a key player. A little bit about climate change. Is the jury still out about climate change or so-called global warming? I think that was one of your lecture. Wasn't that one of the lecture series that you've had?
That's right. The second lecture series. And we may actually want to recycle these lectures.
Yeah, because maybe so much has changed since this was first talked about.
That is correct. So the second lecture series after evolution, we did global climate change, and then we've done a bunch of others. I'm thinking that we may actually bring that back. But to answer your question specifically, there is no doubt that the Earth is warming up. I mean, we can measure that with thermometers, and there was debates as to whether the various kinds of ways of measuring the temperature of the Earth, which was from satellites, agreed with those that are on the surface of the Earth. And those debates have ended because basically now everything agrees. So there is no evidence, there is no contrary evidence that the Earth is not warming up. There is no contrary evidence that argues that greenhouse gases are not increasing in the atmosphere. There is no contrary evidence that every time in the geologic history of the Earth, when it's gotten warmer or cooler, it correlates with these greenhouse gases. Geologically, of course, people have argued, well, you know, the Earth has gotten warm and cold without humans. That is true. And there are other ways that the Earth can actually evolve greenhouse gases, volcanic eruptions or whatnot. But in this particular case, the correlation with there are a lot of correlations, but temporally the correlation between the Industrial Revolution and the greenhouse gas emissions and the temperature change is so dramatic that it's impossible really to say that we're not doing it and that the Earth isn't warming up.
Coming up on 12:28, it is 12:28 on the Buckmaster Show. Joaquin Ruiz, the Dean of the College of Science, is with us. We've been talking about Living Beyond 100. That is the lecture series that will begin on Tuesday, January the 24th. All of these lectures are free. Great resource for anyone in Southern Arizona who's listening to the Buckmaster Show to come out to Centennial Hall because, again, as I say, it's free. People do worry, Joaquin, about parking.
They shouldn't worry. Parking, they can park in the parking lot of the university. I think it's called Tyndall. Mm-hmm. Parking is really not the issue, but I do urge everybody to show up a bit early. We have had huge lines in the past. I really don't know what to expect on Tuesday. If it's anything like the lectures last year, people were showing up half an hour early just to make sure that they got a seat.
Oh, boy. Joaquin Ruiz, good luck to you, and it's always a pleasure having you on the program. Thanks.
It is always a pleasure being here, Bill, and I wish you a good year.
Thank you very much, and the same to you, sir. Coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, our CEO interview series presented by Trio is coming up next. We'll be talking about this concept of a sun corridor between Tucson and Phoenix, and what does it mean for growth and economic development? That's next as we continue on the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Officials say a German woman who was listed among the missing from the Italian cruise ship wreck has been located alive in Germany, and that leaves 21 people still unaccounted for. Newt Gingrich says he thinks every American should be able to pay the 15% tax rate that Mitt Romney says he pays. U.S. factory production is roaring back from the depths of the recession. The Fed says manufacturing increased 0.9% in December, the biggest gain in a year, and industrial output is now less than 5% below its pre-recession peak that was reached in September of 2007. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 78 points, the NASDAQ 36 points higher, and the S&P is better by 12 points. More details at srnnews.com.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, coming up on 1235, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We are The Voice, and our voice partners listening to this program in Globe and in Douglas. Together, we make up The Voice Network. Well, at least once a month here on The Buckmaster Show, we introduce you to leaders of some of Arizona's largest companies and organizations. The CEO interview series on The Buckmaster Show is presented by TRIO, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated the relocation and location expansion of more than 40 companies in the Tucson region, representing 11,000 jobs and a $2 billion economic impact. For more information, visit TREO, that's TREOAZ.org. And today we talk with Virgil Renzulli, the Vice President for the Office of Public Affairs at ASU, before coming to ASU in 2002, Virgil was the Associate Vice President for Public Affairs at New York University. Virgil, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for having me on the show, Bill.
Well, it's good to have you. ASU President Michael Crow, Dr. Crow, sits on the TRIO board here in Tucson. He was not only sitting on the board, but he was the keynote speaker at the TRIO luncheon last fall. And his presentation touched on this concept of Tucson and Phoenix collaborating within a so-called Sun Corridor, and how the two cities kind of make up a megamopolis or megapolitan, whatever you want to call it. Virgil, why is ASU interested in Tucson economic development?
Well, I think historically there's been competition between ASU and U of A and Tucson and Phoenix, and we're long past the point where that is beneficial. We've moved to a global economy, and we are competing on an international scale. I mean, one data point, my figures may not be exactly right, but if you take the companies that make, manufacture the goods that are sold in Walmart, there are 5,000 of them. 4,000 of those companies are located in China as opposed to the United States. So we have to band together regionally and be able to put a number of things on the table. And it's not only industry, it is education, it's government entities. For example, Tucson has Raytheon and Honeywell. In metropolitan Phoenix, we have Boeing. While there's some overlap between ASU and U of A in terms of research and academic programs, there are some things that each institution has that are unique. And to paraphrase President Gene Sanders of the University of Arizona, when he addressed a TRIO meeting not too long ago, he said it's time that people in Tucson as well as in Phoenix realize they've got a whole university system to support them, not just the one that happens to be geographically the closest to them.
And, of course, we just had Dr. Joaquin Ruiz with us from the College of Science at the University of Arizona. Dr. Ruiz is very big on the public outreach, and so much, as you know, has been going on with science, the Mars missions, and all of the other things at U of A. But a lot of things going on. There are overlap areas that ASU is involved with as well.
Well, absolutely. In fact, one of the, I think, emerging areas of strength, there are new entities that have come out, but we've always been strong in aerospace and defense. That is a sector that is changing very, very rapidly. And to maintain where the state is and to advance, we need to be very, very heavily involved in that game, and that involves both parts of the Sun Corridor. We have something here called the Aerospace and Defense Research Collaboratory, which the U of A is involved in. I went with a TRIO to a trip to Huntsville, Alabama, to see the industry there. There's something else now. People may be familiar with the former Air Force Research Lab, a fairly unique research facility on the former Williams Air Force Base in Mesa. That now has been taken over by the city of Mesa. ASU is a partner in that. And several of us went down from that lab to meet with the TRIO folks to say, if we're going to get some of these federal contracts, some of these industries, it's got to be a statewide effort, certainly focusing on the Sun Corridor.
And this megapolitan area, how do you define that, and how are we ranking compared to other areas nationwide that have similar makeup?
Oh, that's a very good question. Megapolitan, usually you think it's almost like a shopping center where you have anchor stores. You have usually these things. Megapolitans are anchored by major cities, but they go beyond that. And so the Sun Corridor starts as far north as Prescott, comes down through Phoenix and Tucson on to Nogales and Sierra Vista. There are 14 of these megapolitans around the country. They represent a little more than 14% of the landmass in the United States, but 70% of the gross domestic product. They also have a large percentage of the population. So you can see this is where a great deal of the economic activity is taking place. The Sun Corridor has about a little less than 6 million people now. By 2030, it's expected to have 8 million people. In terms of economic output, in 2009, which is the most recent year I have numbers, we produced $231 billion. Having said that, we're behind the other 14 megapolitans. In fact, we might be last. And here are some numbers which are not so good. There is good news, but there's some that's not so good. One is, despite that tremendous amount of economic activity, our average income is actually falling farther behind the national average. So in metropolitan Phoenix, the average salary is about 90% of the national average. In Tucson, it's 85% of the national average. So if you look at the 52 biggest metropolitan areas, Phoenix is 47th, Tucson is 51st. Almost one out of every seven people living in the Sun Corridor is at the poverty level. And if you look at the other end, San Francisco's average, this is the Bay Area, their average is about 175% of the national average. So you can imagine it's almost double the incomes that we have here. And I think, certainly I represent a university, we're very much into education, but we think education is really important for at least four reasons. One is for workforce development. One of the things that any company is going to look at, particularly a high-tech company, is what is the potential labor force. And between ASU and the U of A, I'm not sure we produce enough engineers. So it's a really important area. In addition to that, companies that come in are going to want to further training of the workforce they have already. They're going to look at the educational opportunities for their children. And then the final aspect is that a lot of new businesses come out of universities. We're all into the entrepreneurial spirit, but most of the major research in the United States goes on at research universities, which is why if you look at these megapolitans across the United States, they always have high concentration of research universities. To relate where we are in education, Phoenix is 77th out of the 100 top cities in the United States in high school attainment. Tucson, somewhat better than that, at 75th. We're both below the national average in terms of college graduates. And here are the numbers that I think are most revealing. I know we all are looking at the unemployment rates nationally and within the state. It's about 9%, sometimes 9.5% drops. But the fact is, and this is in the Sun Corridor, for a college graduates, the unemployment rate is about 5.5%. That's what it was before the recession. For a high school graduate, it's double that at about 11%. And for people who don't graduate high school, it's 16%. So in other words, your chances of being unemployed increase with the level of educational attainment that you have. So it is really, and going forward in the future, that's going to be extremely important. In fact, I have talked to companies in this state that are ready to start hiring again but cannot find qualified staff. A lot of the manufacturing jobs are now being done more by computers and robots, and so you need a minimum of a community college degree to be able to do them.
So we certainly have our work cut out for us. We know that this Arizona Sun Corridor, one of 14 areas that have similar megapolitans areas, but we need to really bring up the economic end of it and the workforce development.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. We have to look more at education. We have to invest more in it. I was actually at a Chamber of Commerce meeting up here, I won't say which one it was, in the Phoenix area, and they said, what could business do for education other than invest in it? Well, that's not a very business-like approach to things. You have to invest in things to get a payoff, and I think sometimes we don't see the payoff in education because it comes back to a region rather than a particular company. But we also have to realize that we have a lot of advantages here. We have, in Tucson and Phoenix, two strong, young, flexible cities, very adaptable. Of course, we have great weather. We are located between Mexico and Southern California. In fact,
Lots of assets going for us. We're going to have to run. Virgil Renzulli from Vice President ASU, thank you very much for being with us.
Take care.
Thanks, Virgil. Virgil Renzulli on the CEO interview series presented by TRIO.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives. Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. It's coming up on 12:50. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on The Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Well, are you tired of waiting for the Arizona Centennial Commission to get its act together for some kind of a Tucson celebration? Well, lots of local people have been and are doing something about it. A local group is planning its own centennial celebration coming up for the area around our centennial, which is Valentine's Day, February 14th. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is downtown Tucson advocate Fletcher McCusker of Providence Services Corporation, which is headquartered in downtown Tucson. Fletcher, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Bill. Doing great.
Well, is this the kind of a thing where a lot of people said, well, I guess we're going to get bypassed with Centennial here, and so you decided, well, let's do our own thing?
Well, the outcome of that was interesting. That's kind of how it started. But we've since been contacted by the official Centennial Commission, and they actually now are supporting and will help fund our weekend activities, which will now coincide, Bill, with the same weekend events in Phoenix. So February 10th, 11th, and 12th now downtown, we'll have a slew of centennial activities planned by locals, but now supported, in fact, by the State Centennial Commission. So it's been an interesting journey, to say the least.
So they're now on board, so to speak.
Exactly, and actually helping sponsor and underwrite the event. So it's going to be a great weekend.
So what's going to happen that weekend, Fletcher?
That is a second Saturday. So what we've basically done is expanded the second Saturday experience, which will include now Friday night, Saturday from noon till 10, and then Sunday afternoon. So it'll be concerts in the street, merchant and vendor specials. All the museums downtown will be open, special concerts at the Fox and the Rialto, and then a very large outdoor stage, Bill, on 6th right at Pennington, which will the headline acts for that. Friday night will be Jerry Riopel, and then Saturday night will be Sam Moore of Sam and Dave. So you've got, you know, world-class touring acts now stopping off in Tucson, along with our kind of traditional second Saturday experience.
The second Saturday experience has really been growing. What are your numbers looking like?
We're averaging over 10,000 a month now coming to that event. So when we started it, we had about 1,000 attendees, and we now hit 10 and 12,000, and we're expecting probably 25,000 a day for this centennial experience. And that schedule's now on our website. If your listeners want to go to secondsaturdays2ndsaturdays.com, you can see the whole schedule for this centennial weekend.
It really looks like downtown is evolving into a happening place, isn't it?
It's schizophrenic because there's a lot going on and there's a lot that needs to go on. You know, it's a business government center in the day, and then when the sun goes down, it's very much an entertainment and restaurant destination, you know, with great museums and plays and concerts, new restaurants and clubs opening up. So it's become a true destination.
Well, the many hats you wear a hat. You're a member of the Chamber Board, the Tucson Metro Chamber, and I understand now that there's a free rent contest to spotlight downtown.
Yeah, in cooperation with Eller College, the Chamber's put together a business planning contest that will allow a young emerging business not only to get a year's free rent bill, but also to have marketing and PR assistance, business consultation, furniture, web designers, you know, to kind of help launch a business. And that's sponsored, as you said, by the Tucson Metro Chamber.
And people can get more information about what the qualifications are at TucsonChamber.com. Of course, the Providence Service Corporation, you've done a lot renovating a building and now have the headquarters there, TEP, with its headquarters there. But there still is quite a bit of space, office space, isn't there, Fletcher?
Particularly with Unisource vacating their former headquarters, there's quite a bit of space in the One North Church building, the former Unisource building. Most of the street front space we're now really seeing in demand. You've had a new Cricket store open, a new coffee shop, a new eyeglass store. The owner of Hub, Cade Mislinski, has opened up a new club called Playground. So there's a lot of demand on the streetscape space. But yeah, there's still plenty of opportunities for someone to find affordable office space.
How is the Fox Theater doing? You are the chairman of the Fox.
I'm proud to say that Christmas week we had 7,000 patrons go through the turnstiles at the Fox. Record week. It's a theater that seats 1,140 people, so we pretty much had seven sold-out shows and a great spring schedule that includes Leanne Rimes and Glenn Campbell and a number of great acts now. I think the Fox has become a destination of choice for artists that are routing in the area. So we're really pleased to put together a great schedule again.
Fletcher McCusker is with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about downtown. Fletcher, what's your advice for the Tucson City Council and the Rio Nuevo Board in getting together? And I know they've had some mediation that's tried to sit both sides down. This has got to be settled, doesn't it, before we can move on?
Yeah, if I can be blunt, you pretty much got to take a pill and get over it because it's stymied downtown development. If they move to a path of litigation, it could, you know, cram up things here, Bill, for years. They really need to resolve their differences and get back to a combined effort along with private sector partners, financial institutions. You know, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done downtown. And you know, the private sector is doing our part. But we really need these government jurisdictions now to weigh in. And, you know, they've got to stop blaming one another and really begin to kind of cooperate on a common path.
The sales tax has been kind of an issue, and I know there's this a 10-page proposal was released called the Downtown Tucson Initiative. I think you're one of the downtown community leaders that's been involved in this. Can you kind of summarize what that's about?
Yeah, it's our hope there to really create a dialogue that will bring some of these disparate parties together and go to the legislature to seek kind of some legislative relief as it relates to how the TIF is organized and what Rio Nuevo's authority is. And it's a lofty goal, Bill. We're trying to create Republican and Democratic support. We're trying to appease the City Council as well as the Rio Nuevo District, along with something that will be well received by the developers. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge. We believe it can be done. We've had great feedback along the way in terms of things that might work that could improve overall the funding and the accessibility of the Rio Nuevo District. So we're hopeful. We're actually presenting at the City Council this afternoon in their study session, and I remain optimistic that these parties will all come together for the common good.
Before your segment, we were talking about economic development. Can you give us a quick update on how's your situation going with Providence Services, and are you hiring?
We're always hiring. The company's growing as rapidly as it ever has. We're in 44 states now, so if you're mobile and looking for a job, you can go to our website, profcorp.com. We currently have 11,000 employees, Bill, in 44 states. So it's a real story of American dream. We started this company in Tucson, myself and just a few partners, to be a multinational company based in Tucson now. It's been a real sense of pride and joy for us. But, we're definitely interested in finding good people.
Fletcher McCusker, thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
Bill, thank you. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Coming up on 1 o'clock on the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. You're looking for a good CPA during the tax season? We recommend Michael C. Flowers. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon. See you tomorrow on The Buckmaster Show.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, The Voice Radio Network.